Hello and welcome to the technically challenged edition of the Laughing Plays podcast. Today my name is Michael. Joining me on my right, the lovely Sun.
Hello.
On my left, the very talented and weird John Locke.
Hey.
And across from me, looking good, considering the situation, Doc Arts.
I have the urge to throw a knife into something.
I have the...
Doc Arts.
I have the urge to go to Disneyland frequently.
And, of course, that is our special lost opening for the 108th edition of the Laughing Place podcast, January 30th.
Ooh. 108, does that mean anything significant, dude?
Somebody better push a button quick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There may not be another. Or maybe the next one will be like the 34th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. Again,
so
that,
confusing.
That,
but what Austria might be listening, though. We kind of watch it.
We kind of skirted around the issue.
Yeah,
they would have seen Dark Arts blow up by now, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Okay. Is that season two?
By the way, in case you didn't know, my name is Doobie. That was Rebecca on my right, Captain John, and Fanboy across from me, and running around with the pillow in his mouth. That would be Happy. Having a good time. As I said, this is January 30th edition of the LPP, even though it still says 23 on my paper. I'll try to correct that.
Oh, yeah, make sure for the archives that it's accurate. Because speaking of archives, I think you just did that because you are 23.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. That's funny. Our brains went to the same place.
And mine didn't.
Yours didn't go to the Are
the
You 23?
Oh,
no,
passed.
It hasn't. There's a momentary glitch.
I was too busy playing with the dog right now, so...
podcast at laughingplace.com.
Podcast
866-718-9408. Podcast section of the discussion
board. You actually put that on there, podcast section of the boards. Like, you don't know what section it's going to be, you need to remind yourself. Okay, I understand the phone number, the email address, go figure, it could be podcast at laughingplace.biz, but podcast section of the boards.
It's my reminder to say it.
Oh.
Thank you.
Still stupid.
Hey, what's next?
You're a stupido.
Speaking of stupido, so Doobie wanted to say that Dumbo was stupid. Something about Dumbo was stupid. So he goes, dumb stupido. As opposed to just saying Dumbo.
Thanks for sharing.
That was last week before the podcast was recorded, by the way.
And I was relieved that it didn't make it into the podcast, but that relief is now gone.
Oh, you're never safe.
And so let's get started. What's new in the world of Disney this week? Since our last podcast, the wonderful and fabulous Celebrate Your Dream Come True and Share It with the World Parade started the Magic Kingdom. Is that what it's called?
I believe so.
Yeah. What is it called, by the way?
Celebrate a Dream Come True.
Okay. That is. It shouldn't have dream in it. That was last year.
By law, all Magic Kingdom parades must have. It's actually a little-known section of the Epcot building code enforced by the Rainy Creek Improvement District.
The experiment. So we got to see it.
It still says where dreams come true when you come to the theme parks.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I know. And it was sure a dream come true, too. So I guess because it has the word dream come true in it, it's not a new parade. But it is a different parade, and I had the opportunity to see it. I had the opportunity to see it. Fanboy had an opportunity to see it. No one else had the opportunity to see it, so we'll talk about it a little bit. Fanboy, what did you think of the new parade at Magic Kingdom?
It's not fair calling it a new parade.
What did you think of the enhanced? No, the changed.
The it's longer.
Almost.
It has show stops, but I'm still not quite sure why. It's a different song, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
No more dream on and on and on, dream on and on, dream on and on and on, dream on and on, which is always an addition by subtraction.
Does it have as many characters as the previous parade?
No. Well, see, that's the funny thing, is that Orlando Sentinel says it has 101 performers, just like the Disney Dreams Come True parade.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of dancers, which are a little-known Disney history fact. They're actually wearing original entertainment costumes from the opening day of the Magic Kingdom. And they...
You think he's kidding.
And
okay, he is kidding, but if you saw them, you'd believe it.
Oh, really? They look like very 70s?
Bell-bottoms.
You remember the Kids of the Kingdom running like on the teacups and singing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are the costumes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a plus from the last parade.
And there's no characters... Except the ones on the floats. There's no dancing characters.
No high-fiving
no
characters.
No high-fiving characters. No character interaction.
No characters to trip and almost fall on
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Happens with
there is
parade.
No reason to see the parades anymore.
No.
Let me describe the parade for you. Twirler. Okay. nice. Grand Marshal. Yeah, fine. Banner. Okay. Group of dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Float with characters. Group of dancers doing the same choreography, wearing the same costumes. Float with characters. Group of dancers wearing the same costumes, doing the same choreography?
No, different choreography. Fair enough. Okay. Every float has different choreography.
The dancers have different choreography?
Yes.
It's not different enough.
Oh, you know how I noticed is because before the villains float, there's the 70s dancers trying to look ominous, but you can't be ominous wearing sequins and teal.
Well,
they're
be,
doing
yeah.
the kind of Thriller look, but yeah. it's not working.
You can't what be ominous while looking like the Osmond Brothers. You can't do it.
Yeah,
so, no. yeah, not having the characters an interesting choice. Having so many dancers
who are all
doing,
dressed alike.
Yes.
Like in the same colors even? So they, you don't have any kind of...
They have different colors, but the
within
colors...
Within each group.
Yeah, within the group, but the group, the colors are the same for each group.
Wow, that's weird.
And
red, yellow, yeah. green, red, blue.
Yeah, some of those.
Blue.
And then the show stopped for no apparent reason other than for them to do different choreography and throw streamers at you.
Oh, cool. Well,
which
that's
are nice.
Nice yeah.
Which are attached to their finger, and then they take it off the finger and give it to someone.
Oh, that's cool. Better than being all over the street like confetti.
The crowd's going to get it in there. That's, of all the things to complain about, that's at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It just makes me think. It's not that it's horrible. What is nice is each section of the parade has different music.
Right.
And woven into the main theme. So it's nice to...
Does it have, like, classic Disney tunes woven in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really nice.
It's all sung by Corbin Bleu.
No.
You know what's interesting? Remember when Light Magic, they would bring the parade all the way to Main Street and start it there? Because when you have show stops, if you start the parade from the back of the park, it creates a backlog
mm-hmm.
when the parade stops later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't do that. It starts in Frontierland. It ends up Main Street. And it's kind of interesting to watch the guests try and leave the park.
Yeah. Oh, that would be. Especially the way the park is laid out here versus Disneyland.
You can't get out if you're on the right side.
Yeah, if you're on Tomorrowland side, you're stuck, right?
No, Tomorrowland side, you're good. It's the other side.
The Frontierland side?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah, because the crossover. Oh, wow. That's funny.
It just makes me think. My first reaction after the parade was, why is it so hard to do a good daytime parade?
When was what do you consider the last good daytime parade?
The last good, not even great, just good, solid daytime parade, in my humble opinion, would have been the Mulan parade.
And we're talking only Magic Kingdoms. I mean, because Eureka was after that.
No, actually, I'm sorry. You're right. I would say Eureka.
What about a Jam and Jungle parade?
I would not. It's nice. I would not put it in anywhere near the same category as Mulan or Eureka.
All right.
So.
It's different. I mean, that's not a... I mean, it's a cavalcade, to be perfectly fair.
Yeah, true.
Well, and they were dealing with the circumstances of the location.
Tapestry of Dreams I would put up there as well.
Oh, yeah. Tapestry of Dreams.
But just a nice Magic Kingdom or Disneyland...
Like a traditional...
Daytime parade. I mean daytime, obviously.
Yeah, traditional daytime parade with Disney characters and what appeals to maybe the ages of 6 to 9, as
it were. Is it hard, though? I mean, I even like the Magical Moment parade better.
I never saw that. Was that the one with the dancing hand?
No, it was Mickey Mania.
Is it as much harder, or do they just not want to bother?
No, well, it's like it's almost like they forget... You know, you don't want a daytime parade with characters to be artsy. You basically want to have... time with characters. So, you know, the Magical Moment parade, which is the 25th, remember the Magic Parade?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got out, you danced. I mean, the floats weren't, I mean, they were all reused floats and everything, but at least you had a moment. You know, and the show stops, they did things. They didn't just dance, which
do
they didn't dancing anyway.
Do these dancers invite the people to participate?
No.
It seems kind of strange considering the celebration.
That's the first thing I said. Maybe they do the show stops because they're going to have guests.
Yeah, because then you have that moment where, you know, little Johnny who's there celebrating his birthday with his little, you know, I'm celebrating my birthday button.
Does that make sense?
Well, that's surprising.
And the dancers are there and the space is there and the show stop is there.
It seems like the perfect environment for such a thing.
I think somebody missed the whistle on that one.
Missed the whistle?
missed the whistle.
I have no idea why I said that.
Dumb, stupid-o, missed the whistle.
So we got an email
at
podcast@laughingplace.com from?
From?
This person. And Semnus here.
Remember
him
from the combination of Kingdom Heart names.
Yeah, the Kingdom Heart names.
You're blending Kingdom Heart names.
And Semnus.
Get back my paper.
That's what he said.
No, you said Semnus.
Moron. Well, the new...
To me.
Why?
That's a little harsh.
Moron?
Oh, that's fine. Look, watch this. Idiot.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the new...
Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
I get a BD. Well, the, quote, new Magic Kingdom parade dropped Friday. Does the parade drop?
If it did, it would start at every place at the same time.
I watched the entire thing on YouTube, which is kind of like being there. I
guess. He clicked this watch in high quality button.
That helps.
That makes a big difference.
And the lack of new floats, besides the car driving people celebrating, disappoints me.
Oh, wait, there was a car driving people who were celebrating?
It's a Grand Marshal vehicle.
With the supersized Mickey Mouse tires? Awesome.
They added balloons to it.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
But they can't release them into the
balloons make everything better.
Are they real balloons or those cardboard stuff?
I think it's probably plexiglass or something.
I was all right with the first reuse, but twice is overdoing it. The show stop in the middle was okay, but not phenomenal. He actually has that here.
He does.
On a positive note, I love the parade music. Lots of use of Disney tunes compared to the lack of them in Dreams Come True, including my favorite songs, Poor Unfortunate Souls, The Unbirthday Song, and Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. How do you all feel about reusing the floats of the parade and the parade in general? Kitchy kitchy goo.
Well,
I'm okay with reusing most floats, except if it's a really marquee float. Like that castle float they have at the end of the parade. You'd be using that.
I didn't notice. Really?
I'm okay with reusing floats that are generic, you know, and repurposed. Like the Mickey float that was repainted, reused, repurposed.
Recycled.
And so that, you know, that was okay. And even the castle float, they redecorated. And, I mean, it's classic. And they change it up whenever they use it in a new parade. You know, it's different for the Enchanted Adventures parade than it is for the normal day parade. So I'm okay with that. I just don't know that the parade, the snow globe floats that still look like they're snow globe floats. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's not the snow globe parade anymore.
Right.
So the daytime parade scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Cruising the Kingdom, 10 being Lion King Celebration, what do you give this?
6.
Okay, 3.5.
Well, wow.
It's not.
I just hear the music's good from 4. So many people. I hear
not
the music's
good. You're saying Cruise of the Kingdom is a 1?
It is fine for what it is.
The Rainy Day Cavalcade is a 1.
There we go.
Because
Cruise of the Kingdom, it's got the theme song.
I like Cruise of the Kingdom just fine.
I miss parades like that. That and World According to Goofy. I love that parade.
One of my dreams, like I would look at the brochure and just drool. I always wanted to see the parade with the dancing hand, and I never got to see it.
The Mickey Motion Parade?
Yeah. Never got to see it.
I always wanted to see Party Gras. That one looked like so much fun. With the big balloon things, and then they did like a conga line at some point in the parade.
Yeah, you know why that parade was good? It was fun.
That's what it seemed like.
Interactive.
Characters. I never got to see it.
This parade?
Did a French guy design this parade? What's his name?
Well, you know the head of Disney Entertainment is French.
And?
Francois.
And Hamburger?
No. Bye.
Oh, she's German.
No. Stop. Start all sorts of bizarre rumors.
Hamburger. It's not a coincidence, is it?
No.
Anyway. So the new guy's French?
Well, he was in charge of, she was the WDI side. This guy's the operations side. Yeah, he's French. He's the one that brought the dream lights from Paris.
Okay.
To everywhere.
Castle thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the parade.
See,
not
that's
thinking the parade.
I always think of the parade.
That's where that kind of vision to me belongs, is stuff like that. The dream lights. That's where you want the artistic entertainment. You want the artistic entertainment. But with the parade, you just want the parade to go by and to be fun and to have that moment.
I have the perfect solution for the Magic
That's
Kingdom
why I love the MCEP.
One word. Denny Newell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. Dude, we need to have like little Denny Newell fan club sides.
I joined that group on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. We should totally start one. It would be so funny.
By the way, I don't know who out there has heard of this, but there is this website called Facebook, and I am now a member of it, so be my friend. Next on our agenda.
Be my friend.
Oh, yeah, that's not a...
Because that's how Doobie judges friendship.
Wait a second. You're not my friend on Facebook.
Nope.
You never invited me.
Nope.
You're not my friend.
Nope.
Wait, hang on.
On Facebook.
Okay.
Next on our agenda, we get back to the songs.
Our
to the songs. But before we get to this week's song, we have some email, more accurately called post, from the discussion boards of last week's songs, which was the villains category.
Christy March 88 says that she finally caught up, and so she wants to offer her thoughts on the villain songs. Heaven's Light and Hellfire from Hunchback is definitely one of her favorites.
Good song. Good song.
In fact, one of her favorite Disney songs, period.
But it's not really a villain song.
But what makes it...
Wait, what?
It's half a villain song.
Okay.
So many times out there, I watched a happy pair. That's not a villain song.
But it's the counter...
Hellfire!
As she explains, what makes it so great is that the first part isn't a villainous song, but a tender moment of hope from the hero, which makes the Frollo part that much more villainous. See? It's that counterbalance that makes it such a remarkable song.
I think the villain counterbalance makes the first part such so remarkable.
Yeah, no one ever goes like, you know what, I love the Ave Maria section of Fantasia.
I love Heaven's Light. It upsets me that they put that as one track, Heaven's Light and Hellfire.
Yeah,
Heaven's
it does. It really,
beautiful song.
It really bothers to be one of his pet peeves. She goes on to say...
What was the other one?
Very unique. It's a serious moment.
All right.
She talks about how it's a serious moment about a corrupt official using his power to take advantage of someone he should be protecting. So it's not,
Illinois?
You know, just like a witch using... It's not just about a witch using her power to gain control of a kingdom or a giant rat plotting his next criminal escapade.
He's a mouse.
Oh, Radigan!
He's a mouse.
Oh, Radigan.
Mouse again.
Big mouse.
So she says it's a complete departure from the usual Disney song, so therefore it's one of her favorites. UK fan comes in and says, I think I'd count Hi Diddly D as the first villain song.
We were talking about that last week.
I'm not sure in tone it's that much different from something like Poor Unfortunate Souls. Ultimately, both songs are about tricking someone who is naive into doing something they shouldn't be doing by making it sound wonderful. But he
That's
also...
life, isn't it?
He also has a...
Well, is that a category life song?
I know. How to get by.
Realism song.
Lessons to live by. He goes on to say that one of his favorites is also Heaven's Light Hellfire because it captures not just Frollo's intent, but it kind of sums up the whole light and dark themes of the film. It's probably one of the last great Disney villain songs, as the next few movies didn't really have them.
Home on the Range?
Yeah. Oh, yo, don't lie to me, don't lie to me.
And then he also likes Mine, Mine, Mine from Pocahontas, as well as the Savages song.
And Dig. Now, see, Savages is not a villain song.
And he goes, I'm not, you know, he questions whether they really are villain songs.
But Savages is awesome.
And he says, and if you count those, then maybe the mob song from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, definitely count that.
Kill the Beast.
Oh. Kill the Beast.
He sums up his post by saying, you know what, it's hard to pick one, because they do tend to be some of the most memorable moments.
You know this is not called Kill the Beast.
It's the mob song.
They never say the mob song in it.
A show by Aaron Spelling?
The mob Squad? Oh. But this was the theme song.
Really? I'm pretty sure. It's after my time.
Yeah.
Or before my time. Not after my time. Maybe I'll have a comeback.
When did you die? Because I missed it, and I kind of wanted to be there. So, this week...
You have all my funeral notes.
I think, actually, Hunchback of Notre Dame as a whole is kind of underrated.
And it's not in my collection. I ordered it on DVD because I realized I finally went through a catalog, ripped all my DVDs, and I realized I didn't have it. So I ordered it, used, to try to save some money, and I got one with this big wubba 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 on the cover. So I think they sent me the wrong one.
They sent him one made by Warner Brothers. It's very funny.
So actually what it was this little kid came out of this house, and he sat there with his hands behind his back, and he told the story. I saw Animaniacs this week.
That thing you remember is Randy Beeman, kid?
That is the best thing about Animaniacs, which doesn't say much.
Hey!
Hey!
Yes, I am the one person in the world who doesn't like Animaniacs.
I don't understand. But it's okay. Go ahead.
So, this week, we are going to take the advice of our good friend here, who is one of my Facebook friends, Magico214. Hey, I was wondering, since you guys did favorite villain songs...
A friend I might know.
What are your favorite songs in the theme park? My favorite, hands down, is Spectromagic. Thanks. Not responding is very unpatriotic. Here we are responding. Spectromagic. Come on.
I like Spectromagic.
My favorite part is when there's no float in front of you and you just hear jingle, 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 jingle.
Yeah.
Seriously?
You don't like that? Really?
It's okay, but it's hard to imagine it's a favorite.
Wow.
Anyway, so what are some of your favorites, Captain?
Theme park songs?
Theme park songs.
Wella. Wela, wela. I don't know the actual words.
Well, because they're
to all who fictional. Come.
Exactly.
Because they aren't click, real click. Words.
And of course, you know.
So Wela
yo ho, yo ho. Finds out for me.
But Wela being the lyrics to
Tapestry of Nations.
Tapestry of Nations or
followed
Dreams.
Followed by Tapestry of Dreams. Yes.
Or Illuminations Exit.
Actually, yeah. I never saw Tapestry of Dreams, actually. It was just the same with rechristened title.
Different order and a little
they all were wearing,
narration.
They had a show stop, and they were all wearing opening day costumes from the Magic Kingdom.
Opening stop. And they had, they added chimes and jingles to the
puppets,
as I recall.
I don't like wind chimes.
Yes,
it's one of your pet peeves.
Yes.
Tapestry, that track on the CD, it's like 18 minutes long or something.
23.
Yeah, and it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That made the most beautiful 23 minutes of music in history.
Okay.
No, probably not, but certainly in Disney history. How about you, Fanboy? What do you like?
Well, it depends how you define theme parks. Do you find the entire...
That's the hard part.
Do you define the entire segment? Because if you do, then this is my favorite song.
It's Corbin.
I wanna know if you'll be my girl.
Okay, that doesn't count as a theme park song.
But if it did,
that would be it.
That is the song you'll hear more than any other on a Disney cruise.
I can't believe you have that on your
file. Oh, man.
I can't believe you don't believe I have that on my iPhone.
That makes one happy.
Actually, my favorite would probably be Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
It's a great big beautiful...
How do you really feel?
You need a little bit of salt on your microphone there.
That sound you may have heard was Scooby accidentally licking his microphone. And now, because of my idiosyncrasies, I have this desire to do it again, because I have to have it an even number, not an odd number. So,
would you like some Beverly to cut your palate?
Rebecca! What else? Anything else, Fanboy? Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow?
No, that's my favorite.
I know, but what else do you like?
How many podcasts can you go from the Sherman Brothers,
you know,
Great Beautiful Tomorrow, to whoops, I licked the microphone.
Luckily, one. I'd like to celebrate the future Hand in Hand song.
That's a great song.
It's a celebration.
It's an invitation. Feel the inspiration of dreams we all share at
the
very start of it.
Do you like the gospel version?
Both.
Okay. Rebecca, what about you?
I like the walking down the middle of Main Street USA.
Is that really a theme park song?
Or it's the only place I ever hear it.
Okay.
It was on the Disneyland Paris sing-along.
I know it's on the sing-along. I just don't remember ever hearing it in a theme park.
Magic Kingdom all the time. The trolley people.
Yeah, walking.
Oh, those guys.
Clang, clang.
Yeah. Did it originate in the theme park? Did it originate on Disneyland Fun? Do anybody know?
I do not know its origin. I know it was on like theme park albums before.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Well, not only did I just say it was on the Disneyland Paris sing-along song, but they also did it in a show. So it was always like a show thing.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think of it as, is like entertainment. That's what makes it hard, because it's like there's such a difference between like attraction songs and theme park songs. Yeah. And exactly. And not theme park songs, but attraction songs and entertainment songs and whatnot, because there's so many to choose from, because like I love the score of Soarin'.
Oh, that's a good one too.
But it's
la, la, la. It's not a sing along actually.
That's the thing. It's hard to pick. I have a hard time picking
and,
kind of score as my favorite.
Who can forget the Space Mountain soundtracks?
Bum, bum, bum,
I forgot.
And the score of Believe is just really phenomenal.
Yeah.
That segment and
Luminaria.
You know, yeah.
Luminaria had good music.
Luminaria.
There are a lot of good
Fantasmic
songs.
Has great music.
Mm-hmm.
The finale to Light Magic.
Yeah.
Light Magic had great music.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Got one thing.
So like I said, when you start
kind of like the Disney Dream,
when you start talking about theme park music, it's really hard to kind of differentiate between, it's like one of those things where you want to like set up, okay, my favorite attraction, theme park entertainment.
But if you had to roll it all together, the one that comes to your mind would be Walking
When
Back
I think, yeah, for some, you know what, that song, I don't know why, but whenever I'm at Magic Kingdom, I always stop and listen. No matter what I'm doing, I'll stop and listen to the song, because it just makes me so happy. So what can I say?
Well, I was able to narrow mine down to 14. No. Main Street USA, beautiful song. That would be on my list. Making Memories.
Oh, that's a great
Making Memories.
I love that song long before
the old Model T.
Round about the turn of last century.
Exactly.
That's an awesome song. Golden Dreams, or Golden Dream. I don't know. Whichever one is the one they play in American Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the one from California.
It's nice as you actually can sing along.
Do you like the Imagination song?
One Little Spark?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great song.
It's an okay song.
I like that little ditty.
It's okay. I like Kitchen Cabaret is good, too. You know.
Oh, man. Veggie, veggie, fruit.
Illumination.
But no shout out for Food Rocks, though? It's not like original music.
Not
per
quite
not
as
so
good.
Much. No, not
just
so much.
Just give me that good nutrition.
I was a fan of Food Rapper.
Yes, yeah. Reflections of Earth is an awesome song.
Yeah.
Piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
But my number one would have to be, and not in its current incarnation, but only in its original incarnation.
The El Rio del Tiempo song.
Canada. My Canada.
Canada.
See, I think Reflections of Earth is one of the more peaceful. one of the more perfect pieces of music I've ever heard. I think the Reflections of Earth,
the whole
score is just one of the more perfect pieces of music. The way with its crescendos and its flow and pacing.
You know, it's nice
is
at the end of
really
it now they play the celebration song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, haven't been there in a while.
Well, I mean, it's only been a couple. Because right now, as they end Wishes, they play the Wishes song,
mm-hmm.
and then it's the time of your life,
oh,
and then
get out,
and then and then a dream is a wish. So it kind of takes you on a roller coaster ride as you're actually in the park.
They play Roller Coaster Ride? Oh, I know.
No, they just play Aerosmith.
Five! I know.
Yeah, 5 seconds to get out of the park
theme park
and launch you out.
My favorite theme park song is Walk This Way.
I noticed no one said Small World.
I only like songs that have Disney characters on them.
Touché. So next week we're going to do another category. Yay. Let me think. I think it'll be princess songs.
No. Songs about princesses or songs by princesses?
Songs. What's the difference? I mean, I know the difference, but are there songs about princesses?
I would think that the song Belle would be about Belle, but
no, both.
That doesn't count.
I consider that a princess song.
Okay, that's why I'm asking.
The princess song from a movie.
Okay.
No, because that wouldn't be
Beauty
Belle.
And the Beast? That's
okay,
not the princess song?
Song, but what's the category that makes Beauty and the Beast be in it, but Belle not?
Girly songs.
Well, you don't have to truly define it, but if you want to break it down that way, that's fine. That's what I was asking.
Yes, the epitomal princess song from the movie.
Okay.
No, which is not something there.
Did anybody say Cruella de Vil for villain songs?
No.
But that's a great one.
That's a great
Someone
no,
did.
That may be the best.
I remember playing the Ashley, the Hillary and Haley Duff version.
That is a great
maybe
villain
song. Maybe I blocked
song.
That out of my mind.
I know I cut it out of the podcast.
would that be the one from the animated version or the redone, grizzled jazz blues version?
What was his name?
Whatever his name
was
is.
So
he was
good.
A big deal.
But those were so good.
Cruella de Vil.
I love that.
Cruella de Vil.
Oh, so good.
So, okay, now we can move on.
So next week, Princess Song?
Princess Song.
My favorite's the one from Disney Princess Enchanted Tales Volume 2.
And now it's time for the song called... First up.
I thought there was going to be an intro of some sort.
Yeah, I could have done that better.
So it's like I was waiting for my cue, and you're like...
I forgot completely. Rebecca had to write it down upside down backwards for me while we just sat here.
Yeah, I kind of figured y'all would just keep talking. And then
but
you
this
would...
was the next thing.
Well, I tried.
We got an email from Submarine Maniac.
He's a maniac on submarines.
Hello, Doobie, Rebecca, Captain, and Fanboy. I just returned from my first visit to Walt Disney World, and boy, are my arms tired. I wrote that part a few days ago.
I was going to say, you've taken a submarine.
And I thought... That's a long way. Oh, can the subs go through the Panama Canal?
I guess. I've never seen one, but they're always underneath the water.
I thought I would let you know what I thought of the restaurants that you suggested.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
We ate at Liberty Tree Tavern on our first day, and I thought it was excellent.
Oh, good.
Very friendly service, good food, and we had a window seat just in time for the parade.
Oh, that's awesome timing.
At the Animal Kingdom, we ate at Yak and Yeti. The pot stickers were excellent, and they had very good Chinese food.
Oh, good.
However, the Japanese food they actually serve is pork. Chinese food, not that.
Okay, Jimmy added that.
Sci-Fi Dine-In was our choice at the studios. It was great food, and I love the ambiance.
Oh, how can you not love the ambiance? What was that?
The syringe.
And they throw the syringe, yes. Okay, gotcha.
I don't want to grow anymore. And goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Unfortunately, we did not make it to Beaches and Cream.
Aww. It's okay. They don't serve pickles with their burgers anymore.
Yeah, what's the point? A few restaurants we tried that we thought were very good were Earl of Sandwich at Downtown Disney.
Oh. Don't go there during lunch, though.
Very busy.
Yeah.
San Angel Inn. I think that's the name.
Yeah.
In Epcot. And T-Rex at Downtown Disney, which reminds me
of
right on my list.
We just
T-Rex.
Ate there.
Because we finally ate there yesterday.
Yeah, we finally ate there yesterday.
Also, we caught a performance of the American Idol Experience. I thought it was good enough, but the judges were getting very annoying. I've heard nothing good about these judges. One judge started every sentence with, "When I was working for MTV.
Oh, dude.
Or, "When I was working for Britney Spears." Besides that, I thought it was enjoyable. Thanks for everything. Congratulations to Doobie and Rebecca, and the best of luck in the next few weeks and...
Beyond.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we were able to help there. I'm glad we didn't give him any clunkers.
Yeah,
that nobody that's, mentioned.
Yeah, nice of him to edit those
but
out.
How did you enjoy?
T-Rex. Wow, that place is wild.
Wait, well, like the chocolate? Yeah. Oh, no, that's the other one.
Yeah, I thought that was the other place.
Is there really a difference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
The menu is not as expansive.
But especially if you're a vegetarian.
But what I did get, the flatbread without the chicken, was really good, as was the French onion soup. I really like the atmosphere. I must say I like it more than the rainforest,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not big on that whole rainforest
right. Jungly
thing that we've chosen for our baby's room.
Right.
Although it works for him.
Well, I don't have large amounts of plants growing everywhere. You don't like plants.
You're right, I don't.
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves. But the dinosaurs were cool.
They were cool.
They were quite cool.
And the table of little boys beside us who were growling every time the meteor shower went off like they were dinosaurs was hysterical.
What about Ellen? Did she really...
Our server was Alice Trebek.
Was the food expensive, relatively speaking?
It's rainforest.
Is it any louder or quieter than the rainforest cafe?
You thought it was quieter, didn't you, Rebecca?
The area that we were seated in, it was easier to talk to Juby than in areas that I've sat in at Rainforest
Cafe. The post-extinction.
The ice
room. We were by the fire pit, and it wasn't quite as loud.
Not the tar pit. No. That would be very loud.
The ice room is spooky. I walked around, and I just walked into the ice room, and it's all blue, and it's really freaky.
Did you go to the bathroom?
No, I didn't.
It is, for being a tacky restaurant, it has a really nice bathroom.
Oh, man.
Oh, I totally meant to, too.
Oh, well.
We'll have to go back. It was nice. We got there. It was pretty empty. The restaurant is huge.
It's very large. I can't believe the weight they have considering the size of the restaurant.
How many parking spots they take up for that?
It's unbelievable.
It is huge. So highly recommend, not highly, but recommended T-Rex. Great, not great?
You know what? If your boys like dinosaurs, well,
even your girls,
like dinosaurs, it's a little loud. I saw the girls who were seated around us didn't seem to be having quite as much fun as the boys that we saw sitting around, except for the one behind us who had built her own dinosaur, the little Build-A-Bear dinosaur thing.
Build-A-Dino, I believe.
Yeah. But it's related to the Build-A-Bear company.
It was pink with a little dress.
Yeah, and I think it was named Gabriel, which I was confused.
Not
as confused as Gabriel.
I saw the little sheet of paper on the table, but maybe somebody else built another dinosaur, so it could have been another dinosaur.
And now you do.
No,
more than we ever.
You know what? The food was tasty. The service was good.
Service was excellent. She scared me. She comes up from behind. You know,
that was so funny.
She goes, "Rawr!"
Yeah.
And I totally jumped.
Totally, it was awesome.
Shocking.
Yeah, and she was very pleasant, and the food came out swiftly, which was nice. And we got there before the rush. When we got there, we waited. We didn't wait.
Cretaceous period.
Yeah. We got there at like 5:30, and we walked right in. And as we were leaving, the line was all the way out the restaurant. So yeah. So definitely, if it's someplace that you want to eat, give yourself plenty of time, because I don't believe that they take reservations, and they're very much like Rainforest Cafe, where you can have
Speaking
quite
of
a substantial
which,
rate.
Rainforest at Downtown Disney is taking reservations Monday through Thursdays now.
Oh, that's terrific.
So 1 out of 10, 1 being Electric Umbrella, 10 being, I don't know,
Victorian Alberts.
I need to know 10. I mean, are we talking Victorian Alberts? Or, by that scale, I give T-Rex the overall experience, and I'm a boy, a very solid 7 minus.
That's 6.8?
7 minus.
It's not a number. 7 minus 2? 7 minus 5?
6.9 bar.
That's 7.
To most people,
I would give it a 7.
That's why we're
well.
We at in our economy.
What?
I would also give it a 7.
That's okay. Good marks.
I would say I would. My thing was that the menu is a little less expansive than Rainforest Cafe, and it doesn't have the same kind of signature dishes that Rainforest had that appeal to me.
Meteor.
And I'm sure other people. I mean, the rotisserie chickens looked amazing. And the ribs looked really good, but that's not. I'm not a meat off on the bone kind of person, so I got a burger.
So, which unfortunately came with a bone. A pickle?
It was really good. Yes, it came with pickles. I was very happy about that. And they have waffle
As
fries.
A pregnant woman, I figured
Ooh,
you
waffle
would.
Fries.
Seasoned waffle fries, which are always yummy.
We did not try the desserts, which was sad because I thought they looked good. Rebecca thought they were
meteor.
Meteor. All right.
What did I give it?
I don't remember.
I'm going to give it a 4.
You weren't that impressed with it. You didn't like it.
I came in really early. Maybe I should go back.
You and sure? you had poor
I'm always
service.
Afraid if I, the later I go.
We need a podcast outing. Next up, we have an email from Mel. He says, I have a question about character cast members and if they do various jobs.
That's nice.
We saw Pocahontas on a warm day and wondered what she, the Sia, would be doing on a cold day. I am so confused by this question. Anyone understand?
Pocahontas would be wearing a warmer outfit on a cold day.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But they may not have known that they had a warmer garment for her, so they wondered if she had another role that she could play on days where you couldn't have. I'm
Why
sorry.
Would Pocahontas
play
another
role?
Because it's fun. It's something something to do.
So like maybe Pocahontas gets dressed up as John Smith and goes out and.
Don't get weird.
No, I think Pocahontas goes to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and gets like a Hannah Montana makeover.
There you go.
Okay.
So she gets the best of both worlds.
Yeah. The new both world the and world. The world.
to watch the moment of realization between these two. Yeah.
Okay. So, but to value the magic.
Which is what we did.
Pocahontas wears warmer clothing.
Yes, and to unvalue
it's a
the
long,
magic.
It's a nice long-sleeved buckskin kind of looking...
Coat. Pocahontas is in her buckskin.
He goes on to say, hope everything is going well for Rebecca at this most exciting and uncomfortable time.
How true it is.
Soon she will hold the little guy and forget all the discomfort and threats. My son lost driving privileges before he was born. Thanks, Mel. Mm-hmm. Next, we have an email from the guy who also recognizes that I'll Try is a great Disney song.
No way.
Moron, 0214.
Hey, these are our readers, listeners. If they're reading, then they are. My wife and I were at the Magic Kingdom while they were taping the Christmas parade in December.
Aww.
There were a couple of guys there making a commercial with Mickey and Minnie. They were saying things like, we'll be right back after this message.
That's a terrible commercial.
We have no idea who they were, but we didn't see them during the broadcast. Since you guys cover all things Disney, we thought if anyone might recognize them, it would be you. Let me know if you have any ideas.
I think I know who they are.
P.S. Love the podcast. Listen to every show.
That's the one on the left is Minnie. The one on the right is Mickey, dressed up as Santa Claus, and it makes it confusing.
And the two guys in between?
No, I don't recognize them.
No idea.
Well, if any of you listeners out there, I'm now holding this up to the microphone. Take a nice close look. If you recognize it, please email us at podcast.place.com.
Or post a message in the podcast section of the board.
It's funny, they look vaguely familiar.
Yeah,
though.
They do.
They are buff.
I wonder if they're...
It's Max and Buff.
I wonder if it's like a local morning show kind of thing.
Maybe.
Doesn't it look like a? Don't they look like guys who yuck it up in the morning?
Yuck it up in the morning. We're two buff guys. We'll be right back after these messages.
That's what they look like to me. What can I say?
Do morning hosts usually just have polo shirts? I thought they usually like.
Well, they're in Florida.
I'm just saying.
Oh
if
no,
they're
they
a morning host. They'd have logos. Next up, we have an email from the one and only Winged Nike.
Winged Nike.
Bing.
Hi, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Great podcast as usual. Thanks for doing them as you do.
We try.
We do.
I try.
Have you all seen the pictures of LP? Have you all seen the pictures on LP of the American Idol Experience? It's so realistic that could have been a set at the Movie Land Wax Museum, and we know what happened to that place. I think it would be cool to pose and take pictures on the set, but it would not have a lot of replay value. We shall see. Any idea how it's going so far?
It's still in soft opening, so.
Yeah, but I mean, guest reactions, I'm sure they gauge these things, don't they? Anybody know?
I haven't heard. I just hear the feedback is everybody I talked to seems to really have enjoyed the attraction and wonder, I guess the biggest question seems to be that's lingering out there is how will Disney handle guest recovery in that if a family of four, you know, is coming and the kid really, really, really wanted to be on Idol and somehow, you know, either it doesn't work out or they get rejected and it's devastating. You know, will Disney try and do their usual
I hope not.
Thing? Yeah, that's my thing. It's kind of like, well, I guess
spoiled
that's part of the
brat.
Process. It's kind of part of the process. But you think of Disney as being the company that, you know, never disappoints. So it'll be interesting to see.
Come true.
But not everyone gets to pull the sword out of the stone.
I agree. No, I'm with you. But I'm surprised. I've had quite a number of people mention that to me. They're really interested to see how Disney's going to handle.
Annual pass holders?
No. Regular guests. I mean, people who have a certain expectation of the Disney brand.
Well, because they can't really do anything. Because what if you have somebody who auditions and like does really poorly just so they get free stuff?
Well, it's funny because I don't remember people talking that way about Millionaire. Like, oh, what if the person gets to like the million-dollar question?
You legally
and they lose?
Can't.
Right.
And that's what's, at least, you know, you can say, sorry, we only can give the, I mean, same things with the Year of a Million Dreams. They didn't give away mouse ears to people just because they were upset they lost, or fast passes to people because
right.
they're upset they didn't win.
I guess for me, I'm just curious as to why this attraction has garnered that kind of concern, whereas previously, like I say, they've had contests, they've had things where guests can be disappointed.
Because people are used to the TV show, and they know what those auditions are like, and yeah. they see the disappointment, they're transferring their
right.
hair.
Okay, so it's because they've seen the girl in the tears because
right.
she didn't get
I'm
the...
I'm not good at Hollywood!
No, I can see that. Yeah, people don't tend to leave the set of Millionaire in tears when Regis says you're wrong. You're right. Yeah, it's interesting.
She goes on. Fanboy, I'm very envious of your cruise. It looks like you had a blast. Nope. It sounds like you had a blast. And I was wondering if the Disney Cruise Lines will return to the West Coast so we can join in the fun.
I would guess so. They're not going to Alaska.
No, they aren't necessarily going to that portion of Alaska. There are other places to go in Alaska other than there.
They're not going to Alaska because they can't. The two new ships are going to stay at Port Canaveral.
And it's very cold.
So our existing ships cannot go to Alaska.
I've heard that isn't necessarily the case.
I have heard that it is.
When did we hear that the two new ships are coming to Port Canaveral?
It's about when they announced the extension of the lease on the terminal.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure I do that sometimes. So, also, I recently checked out Adventures by Disney.
I didn't finish my point.
He Never wasn't mind. Finished.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So I would guess that one or two of those ships will be in California for an extended period of time.
The classic editions.
Yes. The
1.0.
The classic. The ones with bonus features.
Once again, Disneyland gets the smaller version, but at least it's the one that Walt personally walked on.
So you know how each ship has a grandmother? Of like a godmother or something? Not a grandmother. And a mommy ship and a daddy ship.
Grandmother
William. So the Disney magic was godmother is...
Julie Andrews.
No.
No idea.
Patty Disney.
Yep.
And the Disney Wonders godmother?
Jane Eisner?
No.
Oh, well, I tried.
Tinkerbell. Okay. So it's funny because I hear that Peter Pan. Never mind. Well, fun fact. You know, because they actually did the christening at night so Tinkerbell could be there.
Right. I remember the footage.
I continue. Also, I recently checked out Adventures by Disney, was bummed out to see that the New York tour is no longer offered.
Aww.
Is there any chance of it coming back? I'd say, yeah, there's a chance.
That's interesting, though, because I saw that, noticed that, too. New York, Boston.
I reserved my ticket for the Haunted Mansion event, and I hope to see you there. I'm very glad that I took an early break from work so I could register about 11 a.m. I checked the site around 1 p.m., and all packages were sold out.
Yeah, I heard on the first day, the high-end packages reportedly sold out in a span of about 5 to 7 minutes. And then the second day, the more moderate and lower-end packages, they sold within a few hours.
She says, I hope the cake proves to be very tasty.
Unfortunately, we won't be there.
I won't
so we look forward to hearing from all of you about how wonderful it was. And I figure Doug, I bet Doug is going. I don't know that he's going. But
I don't know if he does with me.
But yeah, that'd be fun.
2009 predictions. First, I think there will be a spike up in annual passes sold, and you'll see more AP families in attendance.
Wow, way to go out on a limb on that one.
This will happen.
They'll want to cash in on those merchandise cards.
This will happen because of the Celebrate promotion of guests getting in free on their birthday. Chances are the birthday celebrant will want to bring friends and family along to celebrate with them, and the most economical way of doing it is by having one AP that you pass along to every family. No, by having an AP pass handy. My friend brought an AP pass this year for that very reason. Second, I agree with the captain about Up. I love the Pixar films, and I'm pretty sure I'll like this one, but I don't think it will do as well as WALL-E.
WALL-E.
I do have a bold prediction, and bold. She actually bolded the word bold.
Awesome.
It's funny because last week I had an italics prediction.
That Doc Hudson won't be in Cars 2. However, it will be announced this year that Doc's friend, voiced by Robert Redford, will be in the movie.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's when I laughed earlier.
That would be awesome.
Here it's going to premiere at Sundance.
There will also be an announcement of a Tron-related attraction at the park. The people
you have entered the game grid of Tron.
Maybe as a replacement for Hista or Star Tours. I love Rebecca's prediction / wish that the LCAP events will be recorded and made available for viewing. I live here, and I still don't get to see all the panels and events that go on over there. I'd like those events to show on regular TV, though, instead of on DVD. Regular TV. Oh, like on broadcast? Oh, no, we have digital now. Oh, and if Fanboy's prediction comes true regarding digital delivery of films, then I predict the Hyperion at DCA will be used to show classic Disney films and shorts.
Classic shorts from the 1960s and worn by famous people around the globe.
You think they'll show, like, Billy Barty, Frank Oz?
Frank Oz. It's not short. Tom Cruise.
Movies. Toy Story and Sid. I know he's supposed to be the villain, but he's so cool and creative in a sick, bloodthirsty way that I imagine he would grow up to be a writer or director or Disney Imagineer or Pixar worker.
He has the best song in the Toy Story musical.
He does.
Is that a villain song that we need to add to
the
roster?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
It's a harsh song.
And it's a great
song.
It's
not a movie, though.
So. No, there's a couple of them, right? Two of them, as I recall, that Sid sings.
Maybe a reprise.
Yeah.
Or a reprise.
Yeah. Reprise,
reprise. Reprise. Witch Mountain. Like Rebecca, I'm also torn whether this will be successful or not. I want it to be, but I don't know. One of the best aspects of the original, Tia and Tony, along with the audience gradually finding out why they had special powers, isn't in this film. I'll just hope for the best. But what is in this film is The Rock. And The Rock has yet to make a bad Disney movie.
Yeah. And I loved his guest starring on Cory in the House and Hannah Montana.
That's so Raven.
Nope. Cory in the House and Hannah Montana.
It was Hannah Montana who dressed him up as a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was. Okay.
Lily.
Yeah, because the tabloids. Okay.
Yep.
And now it's time for the triumphant return of giving...
Wait, huh?
We did last week.
Yeah, but we didn't have any answers.
Triumphant
return of answers?
Of answering? Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right. Last week, I asked a question, which I think I've asked... This must have been, like, the fifth time I've resorted to asking this question, because, you know, I'm not nearly as brilliant as people think I am.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Yes, you are.
And so, Jeremy Irons and Spaceship Earth, not in its current form, have a connection. And Magic 0214 says Jeremy Irons voiced Scar and was the second narrator of Spaceship Earth.
So actually, that is incorrect. He's the third narrator.
Uh-oh. But name.
You had boring guy nobody knew, then Walter Cronkite.
But you fooled the people last week and had a second question.
Oh, yeah, that I did. And Magic 0214 said that the actor in Valkyrie is Bill Nighy, or Bill Nye.
The science
guy.
Which was funny because he posted those as two separate answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he heard the first question, posted, and then got to the second question and posted. And got him right. Congratulations, Magic 0214.
Yay!
And so this week's question, let's see here. Okay, being that we couldn't figure out who sang Cruella de Vil song earlier, that's the question. I'll look it up.
And which version of Cruella is this?
We're talking about the live action credit version.
Then close edition.
So there you have it. Who sang that rendition of the song?
101.
And there you go. And so we'll find out what will happen is that actually next week when I get the answer, I'll actually look it up on the computer and see and learn something at the same time. It'll be
so if you want to get it right, you will go to Wikipedia and put your answer in there.
There you go.
And we have a Stump the Crew this week that is slightly less complicated than the one from last week, although it does involve a number. This comes to us from Hista 98. Is that one that opened? Yes, it did. The New Tomorrowland.
Here. I mean, not there.
California.
Yeah.
Question. At Grizzly River Run, a.k.a.
Grr.
At the top of the first lift hill, there is a sign that says Grizzly Peak, elevation 1,401 feet. What is the significance of this number to Disney?
That is the address on Flower Street for WDI.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Captain?
I was looking up something at the time. Sorry. Because it's funny, because I knew that Bill Nighy was in Valkyrie, but also Tom Hollander's in there, and he's also from Pirates of the Caribbean. He was a Cutler Beckett. So there was two potential answers.
Was Tom Cruise in Pirates?
Tom Cruise was not in Pirates. Despite Cruise, you know, when you think Cruise, you think ships, but no, he was not in Pirates of the Caribbean.
And short people. So I would look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's right.
Mm-hmm. Unless the 1401 Flower Street's actually a nod to something else.
Exactly.
Oh, and we have a voicemail to play regarding a past Stump the Crew.
Hey, Podcast Quartet. This is System 98 calling. I was actually listening to a podcast from July of 2008, earlier today, and I noticed that there was a Stump the Crew question involving who did the voice of Hopper in It's Tough to Be a Bug. And I believe you guys said that the answer was Kevin Spacey, and that turned out to be true. It's actually not true at all. The voice of Hopper in It's Tough to Be a Bug was actually done by Andrew Stanton. The reason why was because Kevin Spacey had in his contract that there be no request for him to do any type of voice work after the movie had been made for sequels or spinoffs or rides in this case. And it's actually very interesting because he went and saw Stuff to Be a Bug after it opened and was very upset that the show was so good. And he actually went up to one of the executives at Pixar and said, if you'd told me it had been that good, I would have done the voice in a second. So, I just thought I'd clear up that misunderstanding about the voice. I hope you guys like my Stump the Crew question this week. Bye.
We did. Technically, didn't the show open before the movie?
I don't know.
April 22nd?
Yes, it did, as I recall. That's my memory as well. But wow, I didn't know that they didn't use the original artist.
Yeah, no idea.
The character artist for the attraction. That's cool.
And Andrew Stanton sounds a lot like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy any real estate from him.
He was a stunt double in Seven, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I understand. If you haven't seen Seven, yeah, because it's kind of a surprise who the villain turned out to be.
But Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. He was like 10 years old, so everyone does. That wants to know. Anyway.
I didn't know.
It's like, I
see dead people.
It's credited, I believe, but it wasn't in any of the promo or anything. And you go about half the movie before you meet the villain. Mm. Yes, now you know Jimmy's dark side. I like Seven.
You know why Six was afraid of Seven, right?
Because Seven.
Eight.
Nine. Yeah. I have a hard time with that one.
Well, it's not as bad as whatever that Jessica Alba movie that you liked, that
Which
you
one?
Admitted to.
Which one?
Fair
the
to
cage.
Remember.
The cage.
What's it called?
The Blue Lagoon or something?
Blue Lagoon.
No.
Blue Thunder.
Which Jessica was it? Because this is where we had the big Jessica Alba Biel debacle.
Yeah, I remember that now.
If it's the one...
Blue Thunder?
No. But if it's that one, which we're thinking of, and someone out there knows, it would be Jessica Alba.
Yeah, okay.
Not the woman from Fame. So,
I wanna live forever.
PodcastLiveplays.com, you know the rest.
You know, actually, that was in the July 2008. He could call in and tell us because he was just listening to that episode.
So, before we close, we typically get final words from anyone that wants to contribute who did not get a chance to speak what was on their mind earlier in the show.
I went to my first theme park of 2009 this year. Well, my third first Disney theme park.
First filler calendar.
Of 2009. 2009 does not change. It is still 2009.
Yeah, it always starts in October.
It was Animal Kingdom.
Disney's.
And it was very nice that it was an overcast day and there was a nice breeze. So I saw a lot more animal behaviors than I've ever seen before. It was
That's
very
just because
cool.
You're pregnant. Don't take it personally.
It was cool. It was very cool. The meerkat was out. I can't remember the last time I actually saw meerkats when I was at Animal Kingdom. So this was cool. And one was watching over the rest of the family while they were, or the rest of the group, while they were digging for grubs and stuff. And he was on the highest rock and totally just watching out for eagles and hawks and stuff.
And
it was
a bunch of people were saying, "Oh, it's just like Meerkat Manor."
Yes, they were.
Yes, in fact, the people we were with.
Yeah. And Tubby learned more about Meerkat Manor than he ever wanted to.
I just know what's on first look. Sir.
And then the gorillas were quite active. The tigers, we saw the tigers
eating one of the gorillas.
No, the tigers were swimming. One of the tigers went for a swim. I've never seen that before. Down in the pool, that was cool. What else? Oh, and then I accidentally bypassed the aviary in the tiger trail, and I didn't even know I could do that. So that was a moment for me.
I don't even know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
instead of going to the right, you go to the left, and you just go past it. And I didn't know that was an option.
So unlike the Matterhorn. You want to pick the right.
You want to go to the right.
Yeah, so what else happened at Animal Kingdom? That was about it.
I rode the safari and saw the very rare truck.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Very rare truck on the side. I did not
ride the safari. I enjoyed a cherry Danish and a glass of milk while I waited.
On my credit card, I noticed this morning.
Yep. You betcha.
So at the meerkats, it's Meerkat Manor. On the safaris, you pass the crocodiles, and those are animatronic. Every time, even though they're real crocodiles, and people think they actually move.
Okay, animatronic crocodiles move.
Well,
when they work.
Ginger snaps.
Anybody else got any words of wisdom?
I'm excited because yesterday, as we're recording this, came a classic on Disney DVD. Secret of the Magic Gourd.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I love all of Corbin Blue's dubbing off of Disney features made exclusively for the Chinese market. And
I'm very interested in it.
Yeah, it's the first movie made for an international market that we are now getting to see dubbed, thankfully. And so I look forward to seeing it.
Oh, and there was a landmark moment this morning.
Landmark moment?
Yeah. So when they decided to continue this Year of a Million Dreams, they sent all the media a catalog of what the various dreams were going to be.
I remember I ordered four of them.
So they had a picture of the red carpet for High School Musical 3, because that was a dream that you could win. And they had pictures of the Cinderella suite. It was, I don't remember, it was what, like 15 pages or so,
the
maybe?
The maitre d' standing in the water at Castaway Key.
Yeah, it was that kind of stuff. And then in the midst of all of this was this huge hot air balloon that looked like Spaceship Earth.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And yet,
I mean,
we never saw it.
We never saw it. I remember
Well, I've heard that. Rumor that perhaps it was made its way through the Magic Kingdom area today. So we shall see.
Wait.
Magic Kingdom area today?
Well, like north side of Walt Disney World.
So it went through the Magic Kingdom, the big Spaceship Earth balloon?
Well, what was it? It was over by Seven Seas Lagoon in that area, from what I understand. I didn't see it personally. I just heard that that was going to be happening.
I'll take your word.
So yeah, I almost got up and drove all the way.
I see a picture.
Oh, you pulled it up.
And you know what's great is that it has the wand on there.
No, it doesn't really.
It does.
By the time you hear this, hopefully I will have gotten off my butt and put this on LP latest.
Yeah.
So this is for all those people who
we were very disappointed that we hadn't seen this balloon yet. So yeah, I was very excited when I got a message from a friend who said, "Hey, I know that you've been disappointed that balloon hasn't made an appearance, but it might be seen today."
What?
It's got Epcot on it.
Yeah, it's got the wand.
Where's it flying over?
Over the Magic Kingdom is two icons. One magical day.
Oh, that's a nice idea. Over the Magic Kingdom, that's clever. Oh, very cool. See, I was right. Magic Kingdom.
I'll give him credit in that it's not the 2000 wand. It is the Epcot wand.
Okay, what a captain.
Do you get the feeling like somebody was, oh, you know what? This celebration is over. We're moving on to the next celebration. We haven't done this yet. You know, there's like all these rules regarding contests. And then they like go to, they have to go to some warehouse. It's like, you know, Indiana Jones, and they're like trying to find the balloon. I just have this whole story. I have this whole story in my head. I think it should be part of the next Kingdom Keepers, trying to find this balloon in some storage room somewhere.
You should write Ridley Scott and let him know.
Yeah, there you go. Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. Ridley.
Oh, not the alien. I get those two.
Hey, you have to tell them about the discovery you made this week.
Oh, yes.
I will. First, I need to tell you about Mary Poppins on DVD because they sent it to me for free, so I better talk about it. Yeah, I do get it. Mary Poppins arrived in our mailbox, 45th anniversary DVD. Really good. Highly recommended, unless you own the 40th, in which case you pretty much have it. But you may want to see the whatever the featurette is called from movie to Broadway. I don't know. It's really good, though. Very entertaining.
So what you're saying is the pretty much the only thing that's new as far as bonus features for this one versus the 40th is the Broadway stuff.
Yeah, it's a 47-minute documentary on how they brought Mary Poppins from the book to Broadway.
From screen to stage.
Actually, it's not screen, it's book.
Book to stage.
Yes, they make that point. Because they could have bypassed
screen. From book
screen
to screen to stage.
B.L. Travers still had the stage rights. She could have sold it to anybody. They could have done something completely different.
And that would have been successful.
No.
No, exactly.
And so it's a 47-minute documentary plus the viewing of Step in Time from the play.
Steps in Time.
which is sadly my least favorite song from
is
the play.
Is that like 28 minutes of the documentary?
That's separate from the 47. Are you kidding me? 47 minutes isn't enough for that thing. Really interesting, though, and done really well. I don't know. Usually featurettes on DVDs are kind of really slick and marketing-like and or just boring. But this was done. It's actually kind of artsy. It makes me wonder if, like, Lindsay had a hand in it. It's so artsy.
Oh, really?
I need to write him and see if he enjoyed it. The art director for the Tales magazine, because it really had a nice...
Had a nice feel to it?
Nice feel to it.
Cool.
So. And
it's a coffee table DVD.
Yeah, the only disappointment... it's not... Why can they... If they're only going to do the same stuff for the most part, put it out in Blu-ray. Come on. I'm sure there's
that's
a big
coming
one
with
coming.
The 50th,
I'm
please,
sure.
5 years from now.
I don't want to wait 5 years. I'd buy another one in 5 years. I'd buy another one in 5 years. I want Blu-ray.
I want a Blu-ray now!
I want a Blu-ray. That's all right.
Gideon, don't listen to this.
And secondly, and more DVD news, we bought the Disneyland Fun DVD because I've completed my project of ripping all my DVDs to hard drive so I can watch them instantly without getting out my lady behind. And since it's so much easier to change now, I'm kind of building up my collection some more. So I bought Disneyland Fun Sing-Along, the best sing-along in history. And instead of watching it like a normal person, I ripped it, and then we watched it from the hard drive. And lo and behold, when you watch that from the hard drive...
It started at track, like, title 17 instead
of
title 1.
Yeah, which happened to be the version en français.
Right.
Not only en français, but it was Disneyland Paris.
So envision a lot of the same numbers and songs performed from the Disneyland Fun sing-along, but... sung in French.
En français.
In Disneyland Paris. With like the same choreography, but yet walking down Main Street USA, Disneyland Paris.
En français.
It was fun.
Yeah, and luckily, it's also the real version is also on there. Yeah. We just go up to Title One. So I presume they just press both onto the same DVD, and
sounds
then
fun.
Depending on what region you're in, they show the proper
and
one.
And also note, this will be like the Disneyland Paris sing-along from when the park opened.
Oh, this is from 1972.
Yeah, all the merchandise says Euro Disney.
Did it really?
Yeah. When she holds up like a T-shirt.
She's a Euro Disneyland vacation.
They're folding T-shirts at the little shop, and it said Euro Disney on it, yeah.
Retro line. It's like, so this is Epcot Center.
The only semi-interesting Disney-related note is that I found a very old autograph book while organizing my galleon.
Oh, yeah?
And, there's character autographs in there, but the most interesting one is Dana Daniels.
Oh, awesome. Dana Daniels.
Remember that.
That's so cool.
His parents.
And his physic parrot.
Had a
Luigi.
And his physic parrot.
And what was
Luigi.
The name of the piano guy that he...
I know.
Was that Golden Horseshoe? Oh.
Can't tell you, sorry.
Smiling Jack, let's go with that.
Smiling Jack on the banjo.
Wow.
Dana Daniels, he's on Facebook. We saw him on Facebook.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be a
everybody's
friend.
On Facebook, except for me.
Dana Daniels, friend. Will you be my friend?
Wait, I got a question. Is Luigi on Facebook?
The physic parrot? Don't know.
I'm a jerk.
Oh, that was a that was
set
so
up
funny.
Punchline, you are here.
Oh, we used to say that all the time from that.
Podcast at liveandplace.com, 866-789-4008, or post a message on the liveandplace.com discussion boards. It is 7:55, only 65 minutes to loss. So we'll
yay.
Talk to you next week.
Time for pizza.
Pizza. Au revoir.